Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we answer your questions, queries you have regarding the Islamic upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. Now, today in our studio, we have with us a guest speaker, Professor Salman Nakavi, who is a faculty member at Al Mustafa University. Assalamu alaikum, sir.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you very much.
Well, Professor, there's a confusion in the parents' minds and also some questions in the teenagers' minds. While teenagers are actually in the stage of growing and they are learning more things, they have more experiences, parents still look at them as children, which is not actually wise to be looking at them as a very young child, because for some mothers, if you ask them, they say to their 15-year-olds, like, you're still for me like that 8-year-old, 7-year-old. So how okay is that?
As we mentioned, that empathizing means to be able to realize and understand what situation the child is in. And we need to behave according to that situation. So if we want to be really truthful, we need to be compassionate with them, loving them. We need to empathize with them and to accept that whatever stage of life they have reached, we cannot be true to them or to ourselves when we consider them to be small, young, very small toddlers, even when they've grown up.
Well, Professor, what I remember when I was in my early teens, what my grandmother would used to do was that she would comb my hair every day, and I failed to tell her that now I know more styles than you, but I couldn't tell her that because of the respect. So parents do have that sense of actually,
especially grandparents.
Yeah.
Yes, so the problem is there, but still, if we have grown up and they want to show their love and empathy in that way, it's okay. We should be able to accept that, and that should again be, we should be thankful for that, because one day it will be no more.
I miss those days, rather.
Yes, so, I mean, it's both ways. It's both ways round.
It's a blessing as well.
I mean, it is a blessing. They're overdoing it. It's not good, but still being completely devoid of that, and when you lose them, and finally when you lose your grandparents, when you lose your parents one day to fate, then of course you remember those days. So this is something really not, I mean, it's a difficult situation. It's but still, as parents, we should be able to grow up with our children also. We should be able to understand that now a child is at a stage where he is no more of that stage. You can't even expect to scold him, even if you did scold him at an earlier age. Now it's not, he has his own children now. He's become a father. So you need to understand that now he's a father. You can't talk to him as if he is your son and he himself is a small child. So you need to understand and realize the situation which the child is and behave with him. And especially when you have this guideline from the Holy Prophet that you need to treat your children as if they're kings in the first stage. Second stage is where you treat them as your servants and your slaves. And the third stage is where you treat them as your
Advisors.
So advisors, being an advisor, dealing, how do you deal with an advisor? You expect him to
discuss
and to advise you, and then you think of him as a person who's grown up.
Mature.
He's a mature person. So now how do you deal with a mature person? You can't start to deal with him as a toddler. So this is important that we learn to grow up ourselves with our children.
All right. So the problem here is that sometimes parents do not come out of a particular age. The way they are behaving with a child from the very beginning, they carry on the same behavior until then. Well, we'll discuss more with you, Professor, after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing, and we are with Professor Naqvi. Professor Naqvi, as you said, that there's a certain kind of mental setup in the parents' minds that they behave with a child all the time, like even if the child grows up, they behave with him a particular age. Now you are saying that it's already discussed in Islam that for the first 7 years you have to be behaving different way, for the other 7 years you have to be behaving different way, and for the later 7 years you have to be behaving different way. You have to be making your child your advisor. So what do you say about this third stage with the teenagers?
So that is the very that's a very ripe age for becoming make them advisors, because as you know, as we've been discussing, adolescents especially, teenage a person becomes himself. He thinks of himself as an important person. He thinks he knows everything, and he's not ready to listen to anyone else. So now Islam is telling us probably that he or she is at a stage where he or she wants you to listen to him or her. So that's why Islam is saying make him your advisor.
Your child starts screaming, before your teenager starts screaming here and there, you got to be making him tell yourself. You got to be making him advise you by himself.
Exactly. Now, for example, you're taking advice from him. What does that entail? That you involve him in the decision-making process of your everyday life in your home, at least. You can't make him an advisor in what you're doing at the place of work, but at least the decisions that you're making as a family.
In the household decisions.
That when are we going for an outing? When are we going out? What are we doing? What are we going to buy? What are we going to eat? Whatever decisions are to be made on a daily basis or a strategic level even for the family, he or she should be involved, and not only just in the advice, then he or she should participate in the activities also. So the child, the adolescent, should learn to take part, become a part of the activities.
Kind of activities do you suggest?
I mean, especially household chores, going out for things which are necessary, for example, buying things making preparations.
The dealings in the market. Everyday shopping.
Everyday shopping is required. Maybe you need to go out to buy a new sofa set. You take your child along with you, and you ask his advice.
Choice of colors
and type and whatever. So, I mean, he or she should feel involved in that process, not only in the decision making and decision taking. It should be also a part. He or she should be a part of the implementation also. Guests are coming. Okay, what should we be cooking? Everyone should be involved in also making things. So if the girls are involved in making things, if the boys are involved in tidying up the place, so everyone should take up a part in the activity that is taking place in the house.
Yeah. So you got to be involving your teenagers in the different tasks, like everyday shopping, fixing their rooms, or cooking
themselves. Repairs, maintenance, bills, whatever, going out to banks, doing the things which are to be done for the family in the bank maybe, or whatever responsibilities can be given to the child to make him learn how to carry out these responsibilities.
Yeah.
That's a part of the education and upbringing that you do for your children.
Yeah. Professor, we have more to discuss on this. We will discuss that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
Imam Ali alayhi salam said, be like a friendly physician who applies medicine where it is useful.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We have Professor Naqavi with us in the studio. And Professor Naqavi, we have some of the parents who come up with some of the excuses like, as long as I am alive, my son does not need to be worried about anything. My daughter does not need to get worried about anything. As long as I have, I'm standing on my legs, I got to be cooking everything in the kitchen myself. That's what is the response of some of the parents, not letting the teenagers get involved. And this way they think that they are expressing more love towards their teenagers. What do you comment on that?
So number one, the problem is this, that they will not learn to become grown up. The children will not be able to learn.
Become responsible.
They will not become responsible. They will not face difficulties when they are setting up a family.
Yeah.
They will not know what to do. And because all of this training has to be done in once by their parents, in front of their parents, in the family. And secondly, the problem is that when you are doing everything on your own, when you grow up and you're not able to do so, what are you going to do then? Then you need someone to do it for you. I mean, my mother, she was also very much, you know, all the time she did everything. All the kitchen activities were done by herself. Later on, when she became ill, we stopped her, tried to stop her from doing so. She couldn't manage, she couldn't, you know, stop herself. And the moment we made her stop doing it, she became ill.
All right.
So she became ill and she couldn't, you know, then it becomes a habit.
All right.
And if you stop a person from doing that habit, he becomes ill.
Right.
He becomes sick.
Yeah.
So so that becomes a problem. So we used to, you know, reprimand ourselves. We would say that, why did we stop her doing things? So I think this is a lesson to be learned, that number one, the parents should be allowing the children to help them. And secondly, the children should allow them to do so, continue so, if it has become a habit. Because
even if you're stopping them, don't stop them. Get involved with them in a very early age rather than stopping them
exactly.
At a very late age when it becomes very difficult for you and them both to get stopped with this.
Exactly. So, I mean, we need to develop such a situation where there is mutual participation and helping each other with things in the house, outside the house. Participation is important because that is the essence of teamwork. And the important thing that we need, the problem which with our societies, especially third world societies, Islamic societies, is that we do lack in teamwork. And this teamwork should start from the house, this learning of how to work as a team. We normally do not know how to work as teams. Everyone has an individualistic approach to activities. So we do not get things done. Big things can be done in the form of a team. Ayatullahi ma'al jama'ah. And this learning of teamwork starts from the house. If a family unit can develop as a team, then with participation in decision-making, participation in activities, then we can have a wonderful society.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Professor, for being with us. Thank you so much for sharing your beautiful thoughts with us. Thank you so much to your listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.